Yeah.
Yo, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? You have stumbled upon another special episode of Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie. Yes, sir, but this time it's even more special because a lot of times when I do these specials, yes. Leah Marie is working.
I'm never around.
I know. She's a hard worker. She works more than I do. I'm just over here, you know, hanging out in the studio.
Yes. Well, we're making this particular episode because I will be gone for the time this is released, but for good reasons.
I know. And I mean, there's so many good reasons for this episode that I really wanted you to be a part of this because, for one, this female empowerment right here, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm scared of this female right here. I'm going to tell you right now. All right? And I'll tell you a funny story about that too, why I'm scared and how I'm scared, because I am. But without further ado, I'm going to give her a Michael Buffer introduction right here. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Kendra Samargus. What's up, girl? How you doing?
Hello, hello. How's it going?
Oh, hey. Just chilling. National champion boxer in the house right now, in the building. I'm going to tell you the story real quick just to get people's, because they're like, why are you scared of her?
Why are you scared?
You probably don't even remember why I'm scared of you, but I am. We filmed a video in your original gym back in the days. Was it called Thunderous Knox? Lyrical Sound Demon.
Oh, I do remember this. Yeah.
And I saw you hitting the bags and everything. And then Jason's like, because we're supposed to do a sparring part in the video. And Jason's like, hey, you want to get in the ring with Kendra? I was like, hell no, man. You see how hard she is with her? I was like, no. And she's a national champion, bro. You want me to get killed before I finish this video? So I got scared and I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. But I was like, I would love to see her in the video punching heavy bags. So then I got in the ring with Jason. But man, the way I've seen you hit and I've seen your fights, the highlights of your fights, I'm like really super impressed. Now, what people don't understand is this young lady is a national champion. She has gotten up to number 2 in the nation. Right now, you're standing at number 3 in the nation. But look, this is top 3 in the whole nation. Mm-hmm. How many females are fighting right now?
Not me.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Example one, me. That's enough examples.
But there's a lot of ladies out there fighting. I'm talking from East Coast to West Coast to South Coast to everywhere, are fighting. And you're number 3 in the nation at this moment right now in time. Now, this journey, it didn't start easy, you know, because I've seen pictures, I've seen the pictures you post and stuff like that. And, when you first started, like, you took a lot on, right? I mean, give me a little insight on that. We'll post a picture about that too, so people understand what we're getting at.
Yeah, no, I actually started just for weight loss. So my boyfriend at the time, he's my husband now. We were working out together, going to Gold's all the time, lifting. And I ended up hitting like this huge plateau. I could not lose any more weight no matter what I did. I was just trying so hard. And he had mentioned it to me one day. He's like, I think if you boxed, it will help you lose weight. Like, I think it will be really good for you. And so he's like, I still have all my old stuff from when I used to teach at the Boys and Girls Club. If you help me set it up, I'll teach you how to box. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And so we set it all up. And then we did our first training in our garage. And oh my gosh, I tell you what, it was like literally the worst training I ever did in my life. Mm. It was so intense, so hard, and I freaking hated it. And so then now we had all this stuff set up in our garage, and sometimes we would go to Gold's, but sometimes Jason would be like, oh, let's just stay home. Let's box today. And I'd be like in the background, like, please, can we just go lift weights today?
Let's go lift today.
But eventually it just kind of grew on me. Like we canceled our membership and we just started training in the garage. We were just working out in the garage. And I just kept going in the garage, working out. I end up losing tons of weight from it. So which was the initial goal.
What was your starting weight to where you got to where you're like, hey, this is really good right now?
So I started out at 220. And then the lowest I got
How tall are you?
5'7".
5'7"?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then the lowest I got to was 147 for a minute, but like 152.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. So it was like 70 pounds, I think, that I end up losing.
Wow. That's
impressive. So we kept training in the garage, and eventually I just started loving it. Like, randomly one day, I I mentioned to Jason, I was like, you know, maybe I want to spar somebody. Maybe I should try to spar. And he's like, okay.
So how many years into it were you by that point?
No, this was only like a few, like 2 or 3 months.
Oh, dang. Oh, yeah. You're ready to punch somebody? Yeah.
Dang. Oh, you're like, I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
Knock somebody out.
Yeah, it was bad. So it was, and Jason's like, he's like, okay, like the next weekend, we're driving to Boise, and I'm going to go spar this 14-year-old girl. And I'm so nervous. I'm like, Jason, what if I hurt her? What if her parents are there, and what if they get mad? Like, I'm nervous I'm going to hurt her. And he's like, you're not going to hurt her. I was like, what if I do? And he's like, you're not. And so we go, and I swear, a minute and a half, and I'm dying in there.
He's like, trust me, that's what
you're
going
to tell you. No, you're not going to hurt her. She's going to hurt you.
Yeah. And my legs are like shaking, like uncontrollably. And
is that adrenaline rush?
Yeah, I just didn't know. And so we get home and we're like talking about it. And I told him like my legs would not stop shaking. So he took these big, huge, like thick pads and put them over the garage floor. And he's like, okay, now you're going to box on these. So you're like sinking in sand almost is what it felt like. And I don't know. It was like a couple weeks later, we were just driving in the car, and I said, you know, Jason, I just want to see how far we can go with this. Like, I love it, and I'm just having fun. I want to see how far we can take it. And then,
and that's where it started.
From there. Yep. And then I think the next month, so I had only been training like 4 months now. The next month, I had my first fight. So he's like, okay, let's go.
Your first actual fight.
Yeah.
Was it 1 minute rounds, 3 rounds, or what?
I think it was a minute and a half.
Minute and a half rounds.
A minute and a half, but three rounds, yeah. Dang. And then, so I end up losing my first fight, and then I don't know. I just that night they're like, oh, do you guys want to fight again tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, let's fight. Mm-hmm. And so we went and we were in the gym that morning after weigh-ins, and I was like, okay, this is what I need to do to beat her. And I end up losing again the next night, but it was just like this. It was a pretty big difference in the gap. I think she had been boxing 7 years, and I had been boxing four months. but still, I was so motivated. Like, okay, this is what I need
to
do.
The fire was lit.
I know that I can beat her today, and like it was just fun.
So
yeah.
For you, because you were only doing it for 4 months when you like started fighting, what kind of brought the interest of you that the more you wanted to continue with boxing?
The biggest thing that I think for me is it's so self-rewarding. Mm-hmm. So, like, whatever you put into it is what you're going to get back. And you're not relying on anybody else. Like, when you're playing other sports, they are all self-rewarding. Yeah. Like, it's so good for you. But you're not, like, waiting for somebody else on the other side of the field to catch the ball. Mm-hmm. Like it's all up to you. What I put into my training today is what I'm going to get all the reward myself. You just slowly start to see like, oh my gosh, like I can do these hard, incredible things over and over and over again.
It's a very strong self-reliance on yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. That's one thing about, these type of sports, like, you know, boxing and wrestling and stuff like that with my boys. And I tell them like, there's nobody else to blame but you.
Yeah.
You know what
absolutely.
I mean? You're the only person that's going to be in there. If you mess up, it's you.
Yeah.
You know? If somebody gets you, it's because you let them get you. So, and if they got you that time, then you got to learn how they won't get you the next time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so getting in the ring is, man, like you say, it really builds that strength, that inner strength from physical to mental.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you like bridge the gap for the both. And then they just start walking in unison, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that feeling. That to me was the most beautiful thing about boxing. I did it for a little bit. Obviously, I didn't get to the levels you got. That's wild, you know? But I mean, just to be in there and do that and know that it was on me. Like, I love that. I love that I can, still to this day, boxing really set a base for me to be mentally strong as I am now.
Yeah.
To have my mind really work with me in unison consistently. Even now as I'm getting older, like now I'm doing other stuff, but like I've been really like, I'm really close to going like, you know what, I'm just going to go train with you guys. Because I really want to train a little bit, but not get in the ring because I'm too old for that. I'm too old for that, Mick. But so I'm too old for that. So I was like, I don't want to get in the ring and get punched, but I do want to go in just to train again. Because that feeling is beautiful, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so you started... And now fast forward, you get to your first national fight. You know, how was it from there, the journey from getting there, and how did you feel in your first fight that you knew this was everything at this moment?
Yeah, so my first nationals was actually Golden Gloves in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I think I only had 9 fights when I went to nationals then. And it was like super nerve-wracking. I was super nervous, but I don't know. I felt like so many people doubted like how I was going to perform there. And
that almost fueled your fire, didn't
yeah,
it? When people doubt you. Yeah.
It really did. Like, I was on the team, and I probably had the least experience out of everybody that was on the team. But just every day that I fought, I did so good. I think, so the first day I fought, and I actually stopped the girl, she ended up going down to the canvas. I stopped her with a jab, and it was just like
Yikes.
The biggest deal.
See, that's why I'm scared of her.
And so at the time, like, you're just so new, you don't really think it's like, you're like, okay, cool, I'm moving on. Like, but everybody in the tournament was just, after that one, everyone was coming up to us, talking to us about it. Like, oh, I seen that fight. Oh my gosh. I can't believe you stopped that girl with a jab. Like,
you're like, and, yeah, no big deal. No big deal. No big whoop.
No. So then I fought again, and the next time I fought, I end up giving the girl so many 8 counts they end up having to call it. So I think 4 8-counts is after you get 4 8-counts they stop it. And so I end up giving her 4 8-counts and they stop that fight. And then the next fight, this girl, I already knew who she was, but I fought her in the finals, and she was the number one at that time in our division, the 152 bracket. Mm-hmm. And I just remember during weigh-ins, like, all the girls were talking about this girl, and they're like, oh my gosh, look at her legs, she's so big. And I was like,
that doesn't matter though. Like, it doesn't matter.
I was like, just disregard what they're saying. Like, it doesn't even matter. And like, I just remember going into this fight. So I kind of like was rushing in the very first round. I end up getting 2 8-counts. So she gave me 2 8-counts the very first round. And so I go back to the corner, and my coach Jason's talking to me, and he's like, okay, you're fine. Like, you can do this. You got this. And he's like, just forget about that last round. You still have 2 more rounds. We got this. And so I go back out and just dominate the next 2 rounds and end up winning, I think, split decision. It was 4-1 decision over her, and won the whole national tournament.
Dang.
Yeah.
How long had you been fighting from the beginning to that? How many years?
So it was only 1 year.
Only 1 year?
Yeah.
And you went up to that level, girl? What's up? Again, this is why I'm scared of you. Right? No, that to me is truly amazing and inspiring. I mean, me just being a guy, you know, that loves boxing and loves the sport, and seeing the rise of somebody like that is just it's a beautiful thing, right? It's an amazing thing. How do you feel about, you know, hearing this story? Like, what does it do for you with being a female, you know?
Well, I think that it's not just even being a female. It's just learning how to control your mental state. Like, I think it's such a big factor into boxing, and that's something that, like, you've always related a lot to boxing growing up when we were younger, every time you give us some piece of advice. But just hearing within that year span before you got to where you got, it was a lot of mentalness. It was like learning how to control it without letting it get to you too.
Yeah.
And that's a really big thing, because not everyone gets to that point in their lives. Like, there's people that are in their 50s or whatever it is, and they cannot get to that point to where they're like, you know what, like, I'm going to put that all on the side. I'm going to focus on what I want to focus with. And so I think it's very empowering with, once again, the year time span of what, where you started and how you were coming along, of how that mental build that you did along the way. And then with that, even that time span, like, did you ever feel like your mental state wasn't the best, and how did you find ways to kind of get that back up again?
So not during that time, I didn't. Uh-huh. But eventually I kind of went through like a rough patch. Like, I just started dealing with a lot. Like, I was working and going to school and competing. Mm-hmm. So just dealing with a lot of things, started kind of doubting like my abilities, my capabilities, stuff like that. And I think that coming back to the fundamentals always is like the best thing. Mm-hmm. Like, just when you commit and you say, I'm going to do this, you actually do it. And that can help anybody. So like every day I'm going to go work out, and you go, whatever type of workout you do, you go and you do it. Mm-hmm. And then mentally you just start to get stronger and stronger. You start to trust yourself. If you are telling yourself the truth, mentally you're going to be strong because you believe that what you say is true. Mm-hmm. And when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that I kind of fell into like just being so overwhelmed with like work, school, all the things. I would say I was going to do something and then I wouldn't
do it.
And so that kind of like...
Procrastination is the devil.
Yeah. You know what yeah. I mean? Yep. So that kind of played a little bit. And I was really glad that I went through it early because mm-hmm. It was like shortly after that big national tournament. And then I started going through that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And eventually, once I'd made the Olympic trials the first time, I quit my job, and then it was like 100% focused. So I was lucky to be able to do that. Yeah.
And that's really cool too, because I kind of like what you're saying is like you really push yourself. Like if you're gonna do something, you're going to do it, and that's that. There was a book that I read recently. I can't remember what the title is, but they were talking about leadership and how to work together, even just as a team and like by yourself. And instead of saying like, well, I'm going to go do this, you change that terminology to I tend to. So like, I'm going to attend to do this. And so you got to kind of have to change the way that maybe you see things at time to be able to capture what you're trying to do at the end. And so I started to do that in my life because I feel like I'm really good at like, I'm a go-getter, but there is sometimes that I'm like, oh, I'm going to wait and like hold off and stuff. And so then I started changing that state of mind of like, no, like I'm going to intend to do this. And that is a very big promise to myself. And if I break that promise to myself, like that's not cool to me because I expect that for certain people too. And exactly. So kind of even seeing that like, yeah, like it's, you have to find ways for yourself to learn of what you're going to do and how to be committed to at the same time. Like it's really interesting to see that.
So how do you, you know, balance mental strength with your physical strength? Like what are the things that you do to keep yourself on that level? What do you tell yourself?
So I have like a whole bunch of stuff that I do now. But,
like, let me tell you. Like,
you don't got to give me all your secrets.
No, it's honestly, it's easy, silly, easy stuff. Like it really is. But like I said, the biggest one is just when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. But I started, to like get through that whole like kind of crazy stage, I started journaling and I started trying to find a little bit of time for myself. We live such a high paced life that I wasn't finding any balance in downtime too as well. Mm-hmm. So like I will take baths and it's just the simplest, littlest mm-hmm. thing, but just to kind of recover a little bit and just relax, like, okay, I don't have to be so intense. I'm not training right now. Like, so I'll take baths. I will read at night. Every single night, even if it's just like a couple pages, I just read something that is helping me mentally. Mm-hmm. And it is just like a book that, like a self-help book, or even it could really be anything, but it's just committing to that. I'm going to read tonight. Mm-hmm. And so then I'll read, I journal, I take baths. Sometimes I'll do tea too as well if I feel that I need a little bit more. But for those things, for me, that helps me a lot. And then I also listen to, like, I feel like the things that we listen to can help you too as well.
Oh, yeah.
So sure. I do listen to like a lot of shows, a lot of talk shows, a lot of like motivation things like that. Obviously, it's not the like holy grail, mm-hmm. just self-discipline obviously is going to get you further than that, but I do think that what you listen to will help you a lot too as well.
Yeah. There's a book because I, over the years, I've tried to focus on trying to like carve out time for myself because mm-hmm. I kind of put myself like in the very back.
Yeah.
Like, I'll worry about myself later. But it does get to you physically and mentally. But there was a book I read. It was called Busy as Fuck. So it was for busy people all the uh-huh. single time. And even reading that, I couldn't even read through the book because I kept putting it to the side.
It's telling me
what I'm like, I'm trying to read to it. But then I kind of now got into the habit of like audiobooks now because like I said, like sometimes to it's a lot better. And I feel like I grasp on it a lot more. It's like chewing gum, right? Like it's supposed to help with your memory. Mm-hmm. So if you're like studying things like that, they always recommend chewing that same flavor. So that way it kind of activates your brain too as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yes. That's cool.
Those are always good things.
So now you win your first national, right? And how many nationals have you won?
I've won five.
You've won five.
Yeah.
All right. And so by, have you seen the difference between the first win to the last one? And like, what did you change and what did you do better? Or maybe what did you just like, oh, like, this is not a good move, man. I'm not doing this no more.
So yeah. I feel like that, I mean, we're always changing and growing and trying to like watch film and see what we can work on now.
A consistent evolution of
yeah,
sorts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I feel like from the first time, like, there was zero head movement. Like, mm-hmm. So I won that national tournament, but if you were to see my eye, you'd be like, oh my word, what happened to you? Like, my eye was almost completely swollen shut.
Oh, that's almost to the side of your legs.
It was crazy. So I definitely do not just like run straight forward anymore.
You're like, lesson learned.
Yeah, I have now like started moving my head or like not running in like a bulldozer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that I just feel like there's always stuff you could work on. Mm-hmm. Like all the time, there's always something that you could do better. Like right now, our biggest focus is my feet and my legs, trying to like be more agile, to be quicker. And when your feet are fast, your hands are faster. So that's been my biggest focus lately. So
mm-hmm. Okay. And this what's cool about it is that not only have you been succeeding, you and Jason are doing some amazing things for the community, because not only are you succeeding as a boxer yourself, but you guys have a gym called Family Fitness and Boxing, you know, Family Boxing and Fitness.
So
you guys train a bunch of kids, my kids included, and my kids love you too. They always talk about you when they come home, and Izzy gets super excited when she says that you were training her. Yeah, Kendra was showing me this, like, and I'm gonna tell you the difference, and this is some of the stuff that you probably don't know or you don't see. But so my daughter, when she first started going, like she would get trained by you sometimes here, not so much. And she would just be like, I don't know if I want to do this. And I was like, you wanted to do this. You committed for a year. And mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, like I told your brothers, I go, I wouldn't let them quit anything they started.
No,
so
I
if you start it, you have to finish it.
Yes.
I don't care how much you don't want to do it. You have to do it. I go, at the end of the year, you come back to me and you can tell me if you don't want
to
do it.
They did that to me. I did cheer in middle school and I absolutely hated it. And they told me I could not get out of it. There were so many ways I tried to get kicked off, and I could not kicked off to save my life.
We don't raise no quitters. You know what I mean?
Because very committed, telling us we had to commit to a year, and I could testify to that.
So that's what I told her. I go, yeah, you can't do that. So then fast forward a little bit more, right? And then she comes home, and I think you trained her one time, and she's like, she's all smiling. I was like, what's up? She goes, oh, it was really fun. Kendra showed me this and this and that. And I was like, so you like it or what? She goes, yeah, I don't know. I didn't really like it before, but I'm really starting to like it now. And I said, oh, so you want to continue to do it? I want to continue doing it. And so every time she's with you or something, she'll be super excited. So she gets home and she's just, I could tell that you've been showing her something, because she's like, she just can't wait to tell me, you know?
Oh,
and,
I love it.
And it's the same thing with Vicente. He's like, Jason, show me this. And then he's just like, he gets all into it. And I'm like, to me is the most beautiful thing, because I love my friends. I love to see my friends succeed, you know?
Uh-huh.
I love to see you all do amazing things. But what's even more beautiful is to see what you two are doing for this community. Mm-hmm. Like, you might not see it like right then and there, mm-hmm. because you see what you're doing and you're training them and they're happy, but you don't see how they're reacting when they come home.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of the parents are like, man, y'all are doing some amazing stuff, because you guys are training our generation, right? Mm-hmm. Our next generation, because when we're all old and stuff and we're nobody's taking care of us, we got a strong generation of like solid individuals. And boxing, like I told you, you don't have to be a professional boxer in life, mm-hmm. but boxing is a beautiful base that, to me, I've taught the kids a lot of stuff. My thought process, the way I think, has a lot to do with that. And somebody took me and said the same thing. I'll show you some stuff. And you know what I mean? And it was, you know, we grow up with nothing, right? We grow up with nothing. And then somebody gives us their time. And you're just like, man, that time is worth millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Versus somebody just giving you a little bit of money and, yeah, go do that. No, when they're giving you their essence, their passion, and they're giving you that vision for you to move forward and be a strong individual, that's priceless. So I want to thank you too. I see a man, Jason. I love that. I love you guys for what you are doing for my children and as well as the community. I know that what I want is for my children to walk into a community that's strong, and with people like you two and what you are doing here for the people here and just in the Magic Valley in general, you're doing some amazing things. So keep it up, man.
Yeah,
it's
thank
beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. So who inspires you? Who's inspired you? I know Jason has a lot because he's an awesome dude. I love this guy. And he's right here sitting down just being all quiet back here. But I mean, like I got inspired to be a boxer because of fictional characters like Rocky. So like that's why I learned from, and then obviously the my real trainers and stuff when I was growing up. But give me some inspiration that you've received from others.
So honestly, like this is gonna sound so cheesy, I already know. So I never thought in my entire life that I would ever be a boxer. I like when Jason and I first started dating, you know, that like game you play 20 questions that you're like, oh, what's your favorite color, blah blah blah. Jason literally asked me like, oh, do you like boxing? I was like, oh, boxing, who would do boxing? That's the dumbest thing in the world. Why do people get in there and just punch each other in the face? And he's like, oh, well, I was a boxing coach for a really long time. And I was like, oh, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, like, playing that card of like yeah. what they like.
You know, I was just kidding when I said that.
Yeah, I was just joking.
That's what other people say. That's what I've heard.
So anyways, so the thing that inspired me the most in the beginning and still to this day is the way that Jason looks at me when I know that he's proud of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I know growing up, my parents were always proud of me, and they thought that I was good. But it was just different. Mm-hmm. It was when I first started, and the way that he would just look at me when I would do something that he was proud of, it just inspired me so much to just continue to seek that. I it's so hard to explain, but that has been my biggest motivation, and just him and my kids. Mm-hmm. Like I will be in the ring and I literally can hear my kids. They do not say mom when I'm competing. they think it's like the dumbest thing in the world, but they will say my name, but I can hear them like cheering for me in the crowd, and I can hear Jason in my corner, and just the way that he just looks at me, like I know like I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. Like I could just look at him and be like, oh well, I need to fix some shit.
You're like, oh, you didn't like that. Yeah.
But it's inspired me so much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's phenomenal to have them behind me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. You know, the kids, Aaliyah, like I'll send her some stuff that somebody says about me, whatever. And it doesn't faze me. Like when somebody tells me something, right? Like I'm like, hey, thank you. I don't want to hear it, right? Like, but when I send it to like Aaliyah, because I want her to see it, hey, look at this. This was really cool.
Check this out.
And it's when she tells me something or my wife says something and they're like, dad, you did this. And I'm like, I start like crying in my head.
Because like kind of what you're saying is like there is certain people like thankfully, like we grew up in a family where it's all about motivating each other, even like when we're at our hitting point. But it's like there is certain people that you really look for that.
Yeah.
In a validation. And so like it is rare to see that. And then like there's teachers, right? There's people will say like their teachers were there for them, or mm-hmm. you know, their best friend, or someone at the grocery store, like whatever that is. And even like with you, right? Like you growing up, my dad's never liked people to compliment him. Like he just does not like that. He kind of just brushes it off.
Yeah.
But I always tell people like the things I say about my family, like I told them like I don't say it because they're my family. Like truly, like we will call each other out if we're not getting to the point. Like if like there's times like before I got my job when I worked at the college, like I was really struggling mentally, like where I wanted to be in my life. Like I had graduated, didn't know what I wanted to do with my degree, like nothing. And I kept telling my dad, like, I hate this life. Like I every single day, like I just cry, like I hate this and this and that. And he's like, okay, like do something about it. I'm like, I don't know what to do. He's like, yeah, like you do know what to do about it, but it's up to you to find that path and what you're looking for. And so there was a point where I was going to get a job here at the radio station. And I was really like, okay, I'm going to do this because I did this before with my dad. I feel like I can find some way of coming up from it. But then I also had the opportunity working at the college. And my dad, we always share the story because my dad really wanted me to work here. Like, we were both really excited we were going to work together and everything like that. But the more that we talked about it, we're like, well, you know what? Like, as much as I wanted to work, like, would work here, I know I have a better future where I'm going to go with this college. Like, I have a degree. I want to use it. Like, I want to see what it's going to take me. And 2 years now, like, I have grown so much as a person. But I definitely think, like, if I didn't listen to my parents telling me that, I nothing like against here, like I would have went to this job, but I don't think I would have found like who I was myself 2 years ago if I would have stayed here. And so it's always those things of like really acknowledging those people and how they look at you too, but also kind of like learning how to accept that too, because it's hard to like take, you know, criticism or taking like all these things because you also judge yourself to a high standard. So learning how to do that too is always fascinating.
And especially those that love you and walk the path that you've walked, they understand, like, you know, Jason telling you, you know, where you're lacking or where you're doing good and stuff like that. You know that he's telling you from not only from just experience or knowledge, but he's telling you all of that combined with love, right? Sometimes people, when they love you, they might give you some advice, but there's no base to the advice. They're just telling you out of love because they fear for you to get hurt like they got hurt when they were doing this, right? So it's not necessarily a malice way of giving you advice. It's just a unknowledgeable way of giving you advice, right? But when somebody has that advice and it comes with a base and it comes with knowledge, then that to me is worth even more, because you know they love you and you know they're telling you that because they've been through the same thing and they've seen it, or they see it play out, right? And so like when he tells you, nah, man, you're not doing that right, that jab was sloppy or whatever he might be telling you, you're like, oh yeah, you're right, you know. And then you know, and so he's telling you that like that. But if, let's say, you know, let's say one of your uncles that's never fought and got in the ring, be like, girl, you need to just stop. You know what I mean? Yeah. Be like, maybe because he got punched and it hurt. And he's like, I don't want you to get hurt like that. But, you know, maybe he's just saying that because he doesn't want to see you get hurt, right?
Yeah.
But that's all from the bases. It doesn't mean there's no love behind the base. It just means that he just doesn't understand, right?
Yeah, they're just trying to protect you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just out of protection.
So I have a question for you, because you said that you never would have imagined yourself to being a boxer. Prior to you kind of getting into the idea of boxing, like, what were you wanting to do kind of like career-wise?
So I've always, I love kids. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a pediatrician, like my whole entire life. And I had kids pretty young, so I eventually downgraded the what I'm going to go to school for 20,000 years. No. But so I wanted to be a nurse practitioner, but specializing in pediatrics. And so I was actually going to school for my nursing degree for a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to school, and I mentioned I was working and competing all at the same time. Eventually, I ended up getting all of the prerequisites to get accepted to the RN program. Mm-hmm. And I got accepted like three times, I think. Mm-hmm. And I kept denying it because they are so strict about how many days you can miss.
Oh, absolutely.
So you can only miss one day per semester. And I knew I was going to go to these national tournaments and I would miss a whole week. Mm-hmm. And whether that be 2 days for school or 3 days, however the week would be structured, I'd miss more than one day for sure. And so I kept denying it. And I was like, I'll eventually go back. Now, honestly, I don't think I will ever go back. But yeah, that's actually what I did want to do, is to be a nurse.
That's crazy, because then you could have been like, yo, cut me, Mick. Instead of cutting it, you could cut yourself and then sewed yourself back up.
Yeah.
That would have been crazy, right?
Yeah, she's in her corner.
Yeah. I'm not going to cut you, Rock. So, so I want to ask you this. What has been your most challenging fight, and how did you overcome it? Like, I'm talking mental to physical to everything, every last drop of you. How did you like rise to the occasion when you felt like you didn't have nothing left in the tank?
Man, that's a hard question.
I'm hitting you with the hard questions in here. I'm Walter Cronkite. Today we talked to Kendra Reeves.
I would say mentally was the one I talked about at Nationals, the National Golden Gloves one, just because she was ranked already. She was the number one in the division. And just everybody was like, oh my gosh, look at her legs. Look at this. Look at that. La, la, la. So mentally, I would say that. And also, hands down, she probably hit the hardest I've ever been hit still to this day. Yeah. And but I don't know. That one's really hard as far as like,
how do you push through the pain then? Like when you get hit really hard and you're just like, you're about like, I feel like I'm going to black out right now. How do you push through that? How do you just maneuver to the side, get to the ropes? What do you do? What's your method?
I've never felt that before. Yeah. So I've never felt like dazed or anything. Even when she, when that fight, when I did get hit really hard those two times, I think it was more or less that I was just like running in. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, it's almost like you just like ran straight into a wall. Mm-hmm. Because like if they put their hand out and you are running so fast, it's just your impact and their impact. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've never felt dazed yet before. Mm-hmm. Even when she did hit me those two times, like I still didn't feel dazed. Mm-hmm. And I think that I was just so new at it. I was just like, okay, and just kept running forward.
Yeah. You know what? There's times when I go like within the industry, like I've matched up with titans in the industry, in my industry, and sometimes I feel that I have that imposter syndrome, right? Like I shouldn't be here, man. I'm not to this level of these people.
Oh yeah.
You know, do you ever get that, especially when you went to the Olympic trials?
Oh,
because
my gosh.
I've seen you fight, dude, and I'm telling you, like, you're badass. You know what I mean? I haven't seen you in person, which is that's why I'm really excited. On February 3rd, make sure you check us out. Family Boxing and Fitness presents. So, okay, we're going to get into that in a little bit. But
yeah.
I could see how badass you are, dude, but everybody sees that, right? But do you ever get that moment, like, let's say when you get into the Olympic trials and you see all these elite boxers like yourself, do you ever get that?
So the biggest time, so it wasn't the Olympic trials. I did not feel that at all at the Olympic trials, but it was before. It was once I made Team USA last year. So I made Team USA and I had to go to an evaluation camp all of January of last year. And you're pretty much competing against the number one girl, because I never actually got to fight her. She wasn't there at Nationals when I won. She was at camp. And then I go and try to beat her out of her spot, if that makes sense. So I would say that is the most time that I felt it, because you're surrounded by all the number ones and number twos. And then not only that, but your coach is not there. You're just in such a different, everything's different. So you're trying to work with all these new coaches. You're competing with the best. You're trying to be your best. You're showing up every day. And that was very, very hard. I felt imposter syndrome like crazy during that time. And I think it was just the biggest thing is that I've been blessed to have had the same coach my whole career, and have like I've only really worked mitts with Jason. Like I've never done it with anybody else. And so when I was there, I'm like working, trying to figure out how these coaches are trying to coach me. Mm-hmm. Working mitts with them, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like trying to learn on the fly and still look good. Like it was very, very difficult. But during that time, it was the hardest. And then the next time I went, it was easier. The next time I went,
you already
it was
knew
easier.
What to expect.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. It was just everything was so new all at one time. And it was such a high, like whoever wins this, like their expectations of this evaluation gets the number one spot on Team USA. And unfortunately, I didn't. I end up taking the number two spot. But so every single time that I went back and throughout that whole year, everything, it was a lot easier every single time. But
okay, all right. So I know you're going to be boxing here February 3rd at Family Boxing and Fitness.
Yeah.
Legacy Fields, and you guys got together to do this really cool event. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah.
So all I know is whatever red or blue, I can't remember which side I'm on, but whatever side that I want to be on your side. So because I want to do your intro and then do some scratching and be like, y'all gonna make me lose my mind, you know, I'm gonna go all crazy on it, because it's me and Spin Master Mugen. We're doing battling DJs, so yeah. I'm DJing for I think the blue corner, red corner, and vice versa. And so then every time a boxer comes out, we're gonna be battling each other, right?
Oh,
and so like that's
nice.
How we're doing it. And then I'm announcing the fights and everything, because I'm really excited to announce you know what I mean, because like that to me is like, I'm like, all right, I'm in. All right, I finally made it. You know, so February 3rd, it's going down. This is going to be a really cool event because there's only 8 fights, and these are Golden Glove sanctioned fights, right? Correct? Am I correct?
Yeah, so it's okay. For our state Golden Gloves.
Okay, state Golden Gloves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is going to be really cool because there's going to be some solid fights.
Yeah.
You're like the main event. And who are you fighting on this card?
Her name's Anna. She actually used to train in Utah, so here pretty close, but she recently moved to Puerto Rico. So I think that...
Did she fight at the last fights we had over here?
She did, yeah. Okay. Yeah, she did.
So I didn't meet her then.
And she, I think that she won there, too. Mm-hmm. So she's pretty good. So it'll be a really good match.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she moved to Puerto Rico, and I think she was just, like, joking. She commented on one of our things, and she's like, if you pay for my plane ticket, I'll come fight. And Jason's like, okay, we'll play for your plane ticket. And she's like, what, really? And he's like, yeah, I'll pay for it. Because we reached out to everybody.
Everybody's scared.
Yeah.
She's brave. She's like, I'll do this. Let's go.
We reached out to everyone. Like, we'll pay for your flight. We'll pay for your stay. We'll whatever we can do to just
I mean, if you would have wined and dined me, maybe I would have fought. That's cool, man. So she's flying from Puerto Rico to come fight. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That makes it even more exciting. That's like, dang, cool. We flew her from Puerto Rico, and next thing you know, bam, 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 bam. It'd be so dope, man. So okay, so this fight's gonna be awesome, man. February 3rd, it's going down at Family Boxing and Fitness. These tickets that I got some tickets that the whole deal. So you get the VIP treatment, you get the meal, you get to watch the fights, you get to stay for an after party, you get to meet. There's another boxer that's coming out there that they're going to be able to meet and sign autographs.
So no, not a boxer. It's Cassius Clay. From PFL.
Okay.
So he made it all the way to the finals this last year. And honestly, I thought he should have won that fight. But the guy so he made it all the way to the $1 million fight.
Dang.
So it's phenomenal, yeah.
Okay, I'm totally wrong. So he's going to be there.
Yeah, he'll be there.
I want to give away a pair of tickets from this podcast. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be sharing this podcast all over social media. So if you listen to this podcast right now, what question do you want them to answer and send us a message on Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie podcast? Ask them a question. And you know the answer. You'll give it to me after the show. And then that's it. As long as they get that answer correct, they get a pair of tickets. VIP treatment.
I don't know.
Anything about boxing. Just tell me something about boxing.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun. Nothing? You got something?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Jason, what do you got? Ask him something. Jason's like, I don't see nothing.
I know. I was looking at him for the answer. I was like,
what should we ask, Jason?
Give me something.
What should we ask? Because everybody's listening right now. Should we ask when was Family Boxing and Fitness started?
Yeah, let's go.
That's
a good one.
What was the year Family Boxing and Fitness that it was established? When did it start? You get it correct. Send us a message, Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie on social media, Instagram or Facebook, or you can hit me up, Joey Bravo 208.
Or Limerie 208.
Yeah, hit us up and you answer correctly. I'm going to give you a pair of tickets for this fight. And it's February 3rd in Twin Falls at Family Boxing and Fitness. It's going to be dope. You want more info? Just get at us and then we will hook you up. Make sure, but also share the heck out of this interview here.
Have a guy's night, girl's night, whatever it is.
Yeah, and go check out these fights and check out Kendra, in the ring, and it's going to be awesome, man. And I do want to leave this interview with this. I know you have a message of inspiration or something that you want to tell the people that are listening right now that's getting there, because this is going to be dropping on a Monday. So something that will get them motivated throughout the week and just through life in general. Like, give me something.
You know, I think the biggest thing is that everybody always thinks it's too late. Like, it's too late, or I waited too long, and it's never too late. And honestly, you don't have to work out or train or do anything for aesthetics. Aesthetics is just extra. You want to do it to live a good life, to be able to pick up your grandchildren, to be able to do all the things that you want to do when you get older. And I think that if people looked at it that way, it would make it so much easier. Instead of like, oh, I need six-pack abs, or I need this, or I need that. If they just looked at it as like, when I get older, I want to be able to run with my grandkids. I want to be able to not be in a nursing home. I don't want people to take care of me. I think that that's the biggest thing that people could focus on. And also mentally, it prepares you for everything in life. When things are going to happen, it's inevitable. There's going to be bad stuff that happens in your life all the time, every other day. And when you're mentally strong, you're able to handle all the stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you just focused on that, it would be a lot better.
Yeah,
I love it. That's a great message, and y'all listen up real close and make sure you move forward with forward momentum. Never go back, only regress, or maybe look back just to reference the lessons of time. You know what I mean? So thank you so much for coming on to our show.
Yeah, it's
amazing. Family Boxing and Fitness. Go find it right now. You know, take your kids to get trained there. You train yourself there. They have a gym there. They have MMA classes. They have boxing classes. They have so much to offer for the community here and beyond. Family Boxing and Fitness, go look it up. And thank you so much for coming out.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for real. Jason, he's in the background out here, but I'll tell you what, this guy's an amazing man right here. If you ever come up to Jason, he'll give you one of the biggest bear hugs, and no matter what you're going through, you're gonna be like, oh, my heart is full right now. All right,
you know, my dad doesn't tell us randomly that people give out good hugs.
Yeah,
but every time he does, he brings up your name.
Yeah, he's a good hug. He's a good hug.
So now that I know this, Jason's the one that gives you a hug.
What is so funny is we walked in and Jason gave Joey the biggest hug ever. I was like, oh, maybe I should have given him a hug. I just walked on by. I was like, oh, good morning.
I'm scared of you. That's why I don't go up to hugs here. Y'all check it out, right? Hey, follow us, Joey Bravo 208.
Leah Marie 208.
Our Sip of Tea with Joey and Marie. Thank you so much. Share the heck out of this episode, and please let everyone know about Sip and Tea with Joey and Marie. Kendra Samargas, Family Boxing and Fitness. We out. Peace.
Bye.